I've been wearing my glasses for the last couple days, and I keep putting my glasses on, even though I don't have them on my head. So if you see me do this, that's what I'm doing. I found something kind of interesting that jumped out to me in this week's readings, which is a good thing, right? Hopefully that happens each week. And it was this contrast between the way we kind of watch Jesus and the disciples in ministry and in kind of in their work, I guess, of evangelism in the Gospels and in the story and the narrative of Jesus' life and or adult life and active ministry. And then what we see more in the epistles with Paul and with the early church, and then kind of as we emulate or try to live it out here today in our kind of everyday and in our culture. And what's interesting is Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time anywhere, right? He goes and he's kind of going from place to place to place, and he's going all over really the entire nation of Israel and even outside of Israel at times. And he doesn't seem to stay anywhere very long. I mean, we get a glimpse of that in the very beginning of his ministry in Galilee and Capernaum, which is where kind of everything starts beginning. If you remember the last few weeks, we've been hearing gospel readings of the calling of the disciples and that kind of, and John the Baptist and things like that. And so this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in our lectionary cycle or calendar year. And so he comes, and before this reading, he teaches in the synagogue, you know, and people are amazed, and he goes next door to kind of relax after, you know, for the Sabbath. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and he heals her. It's probably worth noting that he heals her before the sun goes down, which means he heals her before the Sabbath. That's the significance for just a little context. When it says after sundown, they brought them, they're sick, because they were waiting till after the Sabbath. No one would have brought anyone to be healed while the Sabbath was still going on. So they waited till sundown, brought their sick, and Jesus proceeded to heal them. But you can see even early on in his ministry, he's not worried about these kinds of the ways in which we as human beings have interpreted the laws like the Sabbath. He's already kind of doing a new thing in that he realizes that our health and well-being is not something that needs to wait because of a gift of the Sabbath that was given to us for rest. That's another sermon, but I'll throw that out there. And then he goes out early in the morning just to spend some time away from the busyness. And his disciples finally find him. And they're like, everyone's looking for you. Let's go back to town. Let's go back home, right? And Jesus says, let's keep going. And he just kind of ghosts on everyone and goes off to the next town and kind of continues his ministry. And he does this throughout. If you read on and you read like the story of the sending of the 70 or the 72, depending on which passage you're reading, it says he pairs up the disciples two by two and he sends them out to all the places in which he is about to go. And they just kind of go in and they're told to say the kingdom of God has drawn near. And that's the only message they're told to say. Heal the sick and tell people the kingdom of God has come near. And Jesus kind of comes through. And that's his whole kind of trajectory, right? Like, when I think of today and the idea of kind of like nesting in a way as a minister in a congregation, in a community, that like I will work for years and have worked for years in this place. And that we, as followers of Jesus, kind of wherever we are and wherever we're planted, so to speak, kind of live out our call and our ministry in a place, there's a very, for most of us, I mean, a very settled sense of ministry and evangelism. There are, of course, missionaries and folks who go out, but by and large, the kind of conventional wisdom is that if you're going to kind of do ministry or evangelism somewhere, you're going to kind of go and stay somewhere for a long period of time. I remember growing up when they talked about doing mission, like that if you were really serious about wanting to invest in a culture and do like world mission, you really needed to commit to years in a space, not only just to learn the language and the culture, but just to be a part of that place. We see more of a picture of that as we get into the epistles and Paul's readings, right? Because Paul is itinerant as well, but for what we understand, he stayed at least for weeks, if not months, in a place, kind of building up the church, and he would continually be writing back to them and visiting them as he could, at least as far as he was able in with the transportation and the opportunities that he had in that day, in that world. So there is much more of what we kind of think of today as that settledness and that connection with those to whom we minister. But I just can't help but notice that contrast. It is worth noting that Jesus didn't actually have very many disciples by the time he died at his crucifixion. And I think that's something probably worth noting as well. That's not really what I'm planning to focus on today, but by and large, we think that Jesus probably had about 300 disciples at the time of the resurrection after 3 years of active ministry with the disciples. And then to give you a... the comparison is like that, you know, like that a few days later when Pentecost happens, right, the birthday of the church, there's 3,000, you know, who are baptized that day. So, right, like the church grows tenfold in one day with the disciples kind of moving and living in the Spirit as all of Jesus' ministry for 3 years. And we have to remember that Jesus just kind of upset most of the people he talked to. He wasn't incredibly comforting to a lot of them. The people he healed, really, you know, he identified and connected with. But any of the religious leaders, the people in the know, did not get along real well with him. And I think we have to live in that tension, right? There's these radical things and ideas that we are told and given and instructed and called into. And there's this, and there's the ways in which they conflict and kind of intersect with our world. And there's the reality of having to kind of live where we are and learn what it is that God is calling us to do in our space. For me, I very much resonate with that second model. I don't like upsetting people. I like to be liked. That's my besetting sin, right? And I'm not typically out to frustrate or, you know, convict people in this really intense way. My calling is much more to kind of be with, to encourage folks, to remind people that they are loved, and try to, with everything I have, convince everyone I meet that they're valuable because God loves them and for no other, and they don't need anything else. That you're good. You're not good enough. You're good. Like, it just stops there. That's just what's inside of me. That's what God has given me to offer. And it makes a lot of sense in this kind of settled community that we share. But we live in a world that is much more transient, right? Where a lot of us, you know, will be all over the place, maybe in 5 or 10 or 15 years, maybe by next week. We live in a church where I'm guessing some of us are probably planning to kind of grow old in this place, but I'm guessing a lot of us are really happy to be here now, but when they think about, you know, way down the road, this might not be where you picture yourself. We move around a lot more, and so we need that kind of flexibility that we see in Jesus and the gospel of going around and kind of connecting with whoever we encounter, whoever we meet. And this is a little bit of what Paul was talking about in his letter to the Corinthians, where he says, you know, I've kind of become all things to all people that I might win some. And this was, there it is again. And this is, I think, a really interesting thing, because you have to remember, you don't have to remember, if you're not aware, the letter to the Corinthians was written to a very divided church. The context of the letter to the Corinthians was you had all of these little factions in the church in Corinth, and they were basically fighting and bickering with each other over who was right, who was wrong, who was had more authority by, you know, by their kind of teacher, who taught them the gospel. Was it Apollos? Was it Paul? Did they learn straight from Jesus? There was all this kind of inner turmoil and conflict. Does it sound familiar to anyone? There is nothing new under the sun. And what happens in communities is there's, and we get this as Episcopalians, is that there's a lot of energy in believing that we're doing things the right way. Church is really good at that, right? Is in getting settled and getting a sense of this is the way we do it, this is the right way to do it. Even if we don't actively say that or think that, it's part of tradition, it's part of ritual, it's part of repetition. And what Paul is trying to do is say, look, we need to be flexible. We need to be open to what God is doing and how God is moving in our lives. And whether we travel the world and never see anyone for more than a week or a day at a time, or that we stay in the same place for our entire lives and never venture past our, like, block. That God has placed within you a love and a joy, a compassion, a peace, and a grace to share with the people around you, to interact with and to communicate the gospel. And it's going to look, and you've heard me say this before, it's going to look different for all of us, but a little bit of what that looks like as we read and listen to Paul is that it's okay to be aware of your context. It's okay to be aware of kind of where you are and to try to make sense of Christ's teachings in the midst of that. my fear is that too often we get this idea that our job is to kind of convert all of creation into something else. That like the rest of the world has the wrong way of doing things. We have the right way of doing things, and we need to get them to do it like us. I don't know if that's anything you've ever experienced. But I don't, and you've heard me say it before, I just don't think that's what we're here to do. I don't think that's what this whole thing's about. We're here to invite the world into what God is already doing in this world. Long before any of us sets foot outside of this building, outside of our homes, long before we take our first steps wherever we're going to be in this life, God is at work in the life of the Holy Spirit and in the ministry and work of the church all over the place. We just get to join along. That's what we do. God is all around us, and God is at work in our communities, in our families, and in our lives. Much of the work of discipleship and of following Jesus is less about doing anything and being more open to just what God is doing with us. Paul was in like an impossible position, right? I mean, Paul's another person that lots of people did not get along with. And he tried really hard to kind of hold things together. He tried really hard to communicate as best he could so that the folks to whom he ministered could just kind of have a sense of what they were doing and where they were going. And they got frustrated with him, right? Because everyone wanted him to do something a little different, right? Paul, why aren't you looking like this? Why aren't you acting like that? Why are you not living under the law like you're supposed to as kind of a good Jewish Christian? You know, why aren't you doing it this way? And this looks a little strange. Don't do it that way. He's just constantly getting inundated with expectations. And we do this all the time. We have all these expectations both for ourselves and for one another and for the people outside of these walls. And again, I think more and more the ministry of this place is about learning how to kind of be settled in our space, to listen to what is going on around us, to what the experiences and the lives of those we meet are, and to let God move in the midst of that. I really want to encourage us as best I can with the work we do here to just be more and more open to whatever God is doing in your life, and to experiment, to try things, to have conversations you might normally have, or to be open to a new experience or meeting a new person or interacting in a space that you might not otherwise interact in, so that who we are can just be more kind of at work and outside in the world. And to encourage you in whatever way you find yourself in that, whether you are someone that's just kind of always on the move, or whether you're someone that is settled or anywhere in between, that there's no right way to do this. Wherever you are, God is going and is using you for the good work of the gospel, for the life of the church, and for your own transformation and joy. I like to say that the kingdom of God is kind of us together, is us learning how to live in the mess of human relationship in the context of this very messy world we live in, a world that is not the way it's supposed to be, a world that has plenty of pain and brokenness in it that we contribute to and that we seem to have no control over whatsoever. We struggle to make sense of it. We struggle to know exactly what our place in it is. But God is with us in the midst of it. God walks alongside of us and will always have our backs. And this long, circuitous route that I'm taking is really just, again, to reiterate this idea of the freedom that we have in the gospel. I really hope everyone, when they worship here, when they leave this place, has a sense of what it means to live in the freedom of God's love and mercy. it's really, really easy to get caught up and to get really kind of pent up with the expectations that we place on ourselves and that the world places on us and that we place on each other. And I think that in my experience, I know in my life, that tends to be very stifling of the work that we're called to do. The disciples had expectations on Jesus. All of Paul's followers and people who didn't follow Paul had expectations on him and on what he was supposed to do. People would come to the church in Corinth and have expectations about how it was supposed to be and what kind of meat they were supposed to eat at dinner and what kind of things they were supposed to do. And they fought about it all the time. That's okay. We argue about stuff. That's an okay thing. We don't get along. We disagree. All that stuff is okay. We need to be free to just live in the messiness of human interaction. The danger is when we feel like we've all got to get on the same page and do the same thing. When one person's idea of right usurps the freedom of the rest of the people of God. And I think sometimes we think that what we're doing is we're picking Jesus as that one person to usurp all of our freedom. And that's not okay either. That's not what we're here to do. Jesus has given us the opportunity to live into what God has given us. And sure, we're going to make mistakes. You're forgiven. That's what this whole life, resurrection, forgiveness, reconciliation thing is about. You're forgiven. Go sin boldly, I think, is the phrase I've heard before. You know, go out and live and just know that you're okay, that God loves you and thinks you're fantastic, and that you get to live into what God has placed in your heart, and you don't need to be afraid of anything. There's so much fear in our society, in our world, right? You don't need to be afraid. God is with you. It won't always turn out the way you expect it to or often the way you want, but God is with you. And God has raised up a congregation and a community of fellow children of God to be a part of that and to walk alongside of you as well. You don't need to worry. I should just stop there, I think. Yeah. Amen.